Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Humane Rescue Alliance was dispatched to search the area. Now, this is interesting. They say the first choice, how they want to catch her, is with a blanket. Now, would that be your first choice?
No.
Right.
No, that would have been mine.
Run in here on a pole.
No, exactly. I would have one of those dart guns.
Yes, they have
that humanely just... In fact, there are nights when I wish I had a dart gun
that I
could just shoot myself in the neck and sleep for 12 hours. That's all I want to do.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then, plausibly live and from an as-yet undisclosed third-floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Chris Saliza. Leon is with us today. Michael Kornheiser is with us today. Maureen was here and gone. Nigel is here. I'm here. Later on in the show, Ron Jaworski will join us from Houston. Liz Clark will join us from Houston. But we must begin with an important local story. I'm aghast that the Washington Post put this in the Metro section below the fold. I mean, I just do not understand this.
Me running that paper.
And I'm going to turn to Leon first because Leon is wearing, perhaps coincidentally,
yes,
his University of Ohio
trolling
Bobcats
right, with the Bobcat
sweatshirt
prominently displayed in the front.
Ollie the Bobcat has been found. Chris, what was your tweet yesterday at 4 in the afternoon?
Oh, I believe I sent you a text because I knew you'd be in the PTI show,
yes,
but that this is the kind of information that you
I
would
needed
want
this
to
if
break
I
in.
Had carried my phone with me, which
so
I don't.
I went, that's a good point. I went with, Ollie has been captured. I repeat, Ollie has been captured.
Okay, Leon, did you wear the Bobcat specifically for this?
That's exactly why I dug this one up. Because I figured there hasn't been so much talk about Bobcats in this town since we beat Georgetown. What year was that, Chris?
Well, I'm glad I'm here today. Didn't see that one coming.
So the Bobcat...
Is there a Florida Gulf Coast mascot? Anybody...
Yeah, it's actually white guys who jump out of the gym, Florida Gulf Coast. Here's the lead. After a 2.5-day fling in the outside world, Ollie the Bobcat returned to the National Zoo late Wednesday afternoon. She had a cut on her left front paw and enough of life away from home, the zoo said. She showed up as the day was waning near the zoo's birdhouse, not far from where she vanished Monday morning. A zoo visitor spotted her running across a path about 4 p.m. and notified authorities, who hurried to the area and baited a capture trap. Within 15 minutes, she had strolled into the trap, said Craig Sappho, curator of great cats at the zoo. She was taken to the zoo hospital where she was, quote, 100% safe and sound, he said. The zoo said it planned to examine her thoroughly for any diseases she might have picked up during her stay in the wild. Sappho said she probably hadn't gone far and, quote, came right back home. Again, continuing the quote, I think she wanted to go out, have a little bit of fun, see what it was like on the outside, and then I think I'm ready to come back inside now. And Sappho said he was over the moon and thrilled. The first question that anybody would ask, and we would ask it of Leon, being a newsman, a veteran newsman for such a long time.
An expert on Bobcats.
And anchoring news all over the country. Do you believe a word of this? Do you think this is actually Ollie the Bobcat, or did they go to a Bobcat store? Yes, and go get another Bobcat so people paying $35,000 to send their kids to private school can have outdoor recess.
Did you see the picture of it?
It's small.
It's tiny. It's like, why in the world was this fear? And this thing, they shut down schools. They sent kids home early. It's like they thought this thing was running around town with, what, crystal meth and a gun? This thing was it was the size of a cat. It wasn't even big. It was no big deal.
Chris?
I think there's a...
You want to take the responsible alternative point
of view? It makes me happy that you and I thought the same thing, because when I heard that Ollie had been captured,
not Ollie,
I thought to myself, there's a far less than 50% chance that is the actual Bobcat.
Did anybody...
Mr. Jinx
there are two things that happen.
No.
Okay,
it's a jinxy.
They bring in another Bobcat to begin with, and then they kill it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to... Whatever you see at the zoo will be the third Bobcat.
Would someone explain to me what kind of diseases a Bobcat can pick up in 2 days?
In Upper Northwest D.C. and Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Like Bobcat herpes or something?
I'm telling you. I mean, you always, everybody knows.
2 days on the run.
Everybody in zoology knows you keep a backup Bobcat. I mean, that's zoology 101.
There is zero chance this is actually Ollie. There's zero chance.
You think there's a conspiracy. There's a Bobcat conspiracy.
Yeah, here's what I actually think happened, and I think all of these people are lying, but what I think actually happened, the Bobcat gets out.
Yeah.
They go through the charade of looking for the Bobcat for 20 to 30 minutes.
Right.
They let a camera crew film them. They shut that down. They go and they sit and they sit around and they say, well, what are we going to do? There's no chance this thing is ever coming back.
Get the backup bobcat.
Get another bobcat. Wait a day and a half. Because they then panic because all of these, how many private schools within a mile?
Oh. So there's 8 to 10. And it's not just the private schools, it's the public schools. And it went north. It was spotted in the Chevy Chase area.
Well, it's nicer north. I mean, exactly. I go north too. Yeah.
The bobcat made the mistake. It went west out of the zoo and then north. I mean, imagine those roads it had to cross to get to Chevy Chase, Maryland.
So they, at this point, they start closing outdoor recess at every school.
Yeah.
So you're basically in a lockdown situation, and parents are saying, I pay a lot of money. It's a bobcat, but I want to keep my kids safe. So you need a resolution. You cannot let it go out there and hang out in the wind that there's a bobcat on the loose. So you bring in another. Who knows the difference?
You know the thing
between Ollie and Molly. Who knows the difference?
By the way, you know there probably are wild bobcats out there now anyway.
Of course,
and there are coyotes out there that are bigger than this thing.
So here it is. 13 nearby schools canceled their outdoor recess Tuesday out of caution. D.C. school officials said they lifted the ban Wednesday after they heard from the zoo and were assured, quote, we are no longer in imminent danger. Be serious, people. This is how it works. You know you have to. You cannot terrorize the population, so you have to find a bobcat. You have to get
a bobcat
and hold it up like Punxsutawney Phil. That's what you have to do. And that's
also
what they
anyone else think it's slightly shady that the bobcat was just found back at the zoo?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
All right,
don't be. It was in our blind spot.
All right, so let's flesh this conspiracy theory out even further then. So is it that just because this thing was on the loose in Northwest that it's a big issue? If this had happened in Southeast, would people have cared? Would you have been so exercised if this thing had been released or had been lost somewhere in Montgomery in PG?
I think I know the answer.
I wasn't that
you know the answer.
Yeah, I wasn't that exercised about it. I mean, I was much. Ebola scared me much more than this bobcat.
Rightfully so.
And Ebola turned out to be nothing here. Zero. Your point is well taken. Uh-huh. But if the zoo were there, and mm-hmm. that's because it can't really get that far. Mm-hmm. If the zoo were there, or if it was like at an arboretum and it got loose, and then they started closing schools,
yeah
the same thing would happen you can't have kids not go out. Because again, and here's the significant paragraph in the story. Yeah. It's the same paragraph that they used a couple of days ago. Bobcats eat mice, small deer.
Yeah.
Goats. What's the smallest goat you've ever seen? Goats are sizable.
Like a goat is bigger than like a 4-year-old.
They can run fast, climb well, and leap into the air to grab low-flying birds.
Sounds like an interesting draft pick.
When they say, and the first thing they always say when these animals get out is, oh, it's no danger to humans at all.
Yeah.
No danger. So that if a tiger got out, they would say, it's the one vegetarian tiger in captivity. No danger to humans. But I think we know better. I think we know better. We know what happened.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, it's come on. The thing was this big. It was about a foot tall. It was like I felt sorry for the bobcat when the pictures I saw online. It's in the cage. It's kind of like three people around it. Somebody's holding up some kind of device. It's just sitting there looking like
that's not the real bobcat, Leon.
That's the
you don't need to
bobcat.
Feel bad for it.
Right.
That's Jim the bobcat.
Unbelievable.
Nothing to do with
the real
Ollie.
Bobcat's playing with that trap blanket. They tried
exactly. It's in Zewantineo.
The zoo is in the woods. It is in Rock Creek Park.
It is.
There are probably 1,500 bobcats there right now. Probably laughing at us. Right now.
1,500. They're laughing at us.
1,500. I would close schools every day. 1,500 bobcats.
It's a lot of bobcats.
That's a lot of bobcats.
I mean, it eats a small deer, occasional mountain lion.
Right.
No big deal.
See, that's why you don't see small deer in the park anymore. It's a good thing.
This is like hot bench. We have differing opinions on what really happened. Actually, I'm not sure. I suspect. I hope it is the real bobcat. I hope it is the real bobcat. But I take Chris's point that why would the bobcat come back? Exactly.
Again, I mean, it's like for something and then you're like,
here it is. Unless it likes the meals, unless it smells other animals, it likes the smell of the other animals.
It's a wild animal.
Think about it. If it lived in the wild, it would have a den that it would come back to on a regular basis, right?
Yes,
so the zoo is its den. That's where it lived.
It already has a way out, so.
It knows the way out. They repaired the mesh.
Well, in
theory,
they did.
They say they repaired it.
And if it's not the real Bobcat, somebody's going to leak it. And they always do in this town. So somebody who works at Bobcats R Us is going to leak it. So you'll find out later.
Bobcats R Us. So you think the Bobcat's fine? Or do you think it's possible, just to continue for a brief second, do you think it's possible that an announcement is made in a week that said, it's really too bad about Ollie. Ollie contracted a terrible disease while having left the zoo area, and we had to euthanize Ollie for fear that the disease would spread to the two male bobcats who Ollie cohabitates with. Do you think that's that's all I'm asking. Do you think that's possible?
Anything's possible. Trump won. Yeah, anything's possible.
Okay. Do you like that theory?
I do. I also think Ollie could do a little bit of you don't necessarily want Ollie's mentality seeping in, you know, like once somebody's been out, right, start talking about the outside world.
Let me tell you about what's on the other
side
of the cage.
Yeah. What's on the other side of the fence?
There's
I don't know if I like
on that side of Connecticut.
Correct. You got to put down that kind of insurrection.
Is it possible?
Of course, it's not Ollie, so let's be honest.
Is it possible that, Ollie went to the casino in PG and just got cleaned out and said, oh, I've got to go back home now?
Well, that's possible. That seems
maybe
that's
how rode that Ferris wheel.
Maybe that's how she got cut. You know, she owed somebody money.
Knife fight.
Okay, so we'll turn from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Wait, that wasn't the ridiculous?
No.
Wow, I can't wait to hear this.
I spent a lot of time on that. No, so I
that was the sublime, the part about the second bobcat.
Right. You liked it, didn't you? You liked it. Second and third bobcats, actually. So I went to Chad's last night, and I found out that trivia, we are starting trivia on Monday at around 7 o'clock, we're starting trivia. It's going to be run by District Trivia, which is apparently a company that does trivia. So I want to build a crowd for that. And we are entered. The people who play trivia at Chad's are then entered in some sort of $5,000 challenge among all District and Maryland and Virginia area bars that play trivia. So, yeah.
That'll buy a lot of wings.
Yeah, I would think so. So
will Team Mensa be there?
No, but I think I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to take a shot at this and sit at a table. But then, you know, if I do well, people will say, well, they gave him the answers. One of the things to integrate that trivia game with this show is I'm told that on Monday I will have one advanced question that I will not give the answer to, but I'll announce on the air so you can be thinking about that particular question. On Tuesdays, what we'll do is we'll take 5 or 10 questions that are hard and we'll ask them here. I'll have answers and questions and we'll ask them here.
Number one, you're good at trivia. We've proven this when I asked you trivia questions before, so I don't think anyone should doubt it. Number two, can we plug the Super Bowl thing?
Sure, go ahead.
We're going to do a Super Bowl Facebook Live.
This is Sunday.
We are not.
Sunday, you are.
Well, I was using the royal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how many people are going to tell?
Well, hopefully more than one person will come. Myself and Neil Greenberg.
This
will
is
be
at Chad's.
At Chad's. Yes, out of the goodness of you and Michael's
heart.
What
time?
1 o'clock.
Okay.
And we'll have trivia. We
so
have
that's
prizes.
Way before the game.
Yeah, so you can come hang out before. There'll be trivia prizes.
And it's supposed to be a lousy day. I mean, like,
yeah,
not
so
a good
day.
Yeah, otherwise, yes.
Like 30 degrees and rain
good
and
day
sleep.
To be inside.
Come out. Eat at Chad's. 1 o'clock. It'll be fun. We're going to give away. It'll be trivia. And prizes about the Super Bowl.
I'll go.
I would
I'll
love
go.
If you came.
I will go. I will show up.
We might even be able to get you up, you know, ask a question or two. Or
I would
talk about sports.
No, well, I don't know that I would do that. So anyway, so I get there last night, and Scott is at the bar, and Scott is with Abby. And Scott had come in from Chicago. Scott is a little. He had come in from Chicago, where he works literally at Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. He's in charge of suites and things like that at Wrigley Field, and mentioned he had a great experience with Mike Rizzo. He put his family in a suite, and he really loves Mike Rizzo. And he had given me some things to give to Wilbon after the World Series. But, of course, Wilbon had all these things because he went to every single game. So I did this thing that I've never done before. And, Leon, you owned a restaurant, so you have probably done this in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I was so thrilled to meet them that I went to the manager and I said, would you buy them a drink for me and just give me the bill? Which they did. And I felt
classy.
Nice
touch, man. Nice touch.
I can describe, but it was a really nice feeling to walk around thinking, wow, this, you feel a little bit like Frank Sinatra.
I was going to say, this is Sinatra moment. I knew you were going to go there.
You feel a little bit like Frank Sinatra. You're walking around, you're schmoozing some people. You say, hey, Jilly, put that on me.
Well, and was it a draft beer house wine
I don't
or
know
was it top shelf?
I don't know what it was because I
keep it under $5.
I didn't tell them. I didn't want them to know. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So I, because I,
oh, you didn't.
No, I didn't want
that's,
have you done that?
I have, but wouldn't you want them to know?
I didn't know how to do that. I thought that would be bragging. I thought that would be foolishness if I actually said, I'm going to buy you a drink. I didn't do that.
If you actually know, then that's not a problem.
Well, I just met them that night. Uh-huh. I just met Scott and Abby that night, and Scott sent an email or something like that.
He did send a lovely email.
Mm. So that was, so
nice
I was,
picture of the
I can't wait
of you.
To see you in a white jacket with a. Black,
oh, yes. No, no. I like Tyus to be undone. Like Tyus to be undone. Exactly. Like,
but it's so. But I leave at 7:30. It's so early to be undone. Well. I mean, you're supposed to walk out late and be undone. So, I mean, that was fun. Yeah. That was a good feeling.
That's why you. I mean, no, that's the only reason. That's not. That's a reason why you buy the restaurant.
That's the reason we are Bullets fans. No,
yeah.
I mean, no.
Yeah,
represent.
Good
represent.
Good point.
Anyway, so I wanted to discuss that. So we'll move on. Now, right? Because we've discussed Ollie. We've discussed all the local news that's important. And I've mentioned Trivia Night. I'd written down a lot of notes.
Great Caps win.
No, we're not getting into that right now.
I can't believe we didn't leave with that.
It's, you know what? If I start doing this a lot, it's going to be very expensive for me. I'm buying drinks for people all
I got
time.
A feeling you
just
will not
set
be
them
doing,
up.
You
Go
won't
ahead.
Be doing this a lot.
No, but it was all right. All right, so we'll get out of here. We will come back with Ron Jaworski and his final prediction of the year. Jaws is hot. Jaws had both games a couple of weeks ago. Jaws is now 56-53-2. So if you bet with him every single time, the worst you can do is be 2 over. You would have made money this year. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. I've had Blue Apron. I say this a lot. You don't have to twist my arm to say it. I've really enjoyed it. I'll do it again. I haven't done it in about a month, but I did it for a couple of months, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed chopping up the food and arranging everything in the little dishes and then cooking the food, and I even, in my case, eating foods that I would never eat. I do not like sweet things with meat or chicken, and occasionally there'll be a recipe that calls for sweet things with meat or chicken, and I said, okay, let's just do it. And I liked it. I wouldn't order it out, you know, but when I did it in my own house, I felt, I ought to do this. I ought to just... It's sort of like learning how to swim, which I don't really know how to do even now at an advanced age. And so I was happy about that. It was my learning how to swim in a strange
way. By the
way,
I've never seen this before. I saw a Blue Apron TV commercial last night.
Is that right?
Yes, food looked delicious.
When it comes to your house, it looks good.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, I don't know where they get the shallots from, but they look great. If I like shallots.
And
I
have to say, the items usually are the kind of things you would order in a restaurant. And you find out you're surprised that you can actually make them.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good. It's affordable for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's variety. You can choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes not repeated within a year. You're not going to get bored. It's flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. They have several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs. There's no weekly commitment. You get the deliveries only when you want them. And each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. You got to think that it's your evening activity. Don't think it's 10 minutes and out. That's not what it is. And it's guaranteed. Blue Apron's Freshness Guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they will make it right. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's Blue Apron. .com/TonyK, BLUEAPRON.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We have played Jaws into this before. This is courtesy of Michael Zakalik, and it's about his dad's band in Poland is Nashtepsi Trono, and this song is Wignamski Jaitsi.
Love it.
I'm close on that. I think I'm close on that. Jaws, you would know. I don't think I was close on that. The band members in 1969 were Max Klajman, Simon Zakalik, Mitek Lisak, Oleg Kupperberg, and Joseph Lofgus. And they're friends. They've remained friends for life. So that's good.
They were never the same after Mitek left, I thought.
I think that's probably it. Ron Jaworski joins us. We're going to get a prediction, but I said this in the intro. Jaws is hot now. He got both both conference finals correct. He's 56-53-2. He will end up with a winning record. had you bet with him, you would end up with money in your pocket. So I'm gonna ask a bunch of questions, the sort of questions that we would do on PTI. And the first one is, it is technically the number one offense versus the number one defense. And you'll permit me to be surprised, having watched New England for a lot of years, I never thought their defense was ever that good. I always figured it was a middle-of-the-road defense. Are you convinced it's the number one defense?
No, I am not. But it certainly is an underrated defense, Tony. They don't get enough credit. It's not a dominant defense. It's your typical Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick style. They give you a lot of different looks, a lot of different personnel packages. They bend, but they don't break. Clearly a very good defense, but I wouldn't consider this defense a great one. So I still think Matt Ryan will move the football against them.
Yeah, I mean, when I woke up this morning and I started getting ready for work, and I want the Patriots to win just for the great moment of seeing Goodell up there, especially after yesterday in that press conference. But part of me says, why does anybody think that Atlanta isn't going to score 45 points? Why does anybody think that, Jaws?
Well, it's because of the way that Bill plays the game.
Right.
He's going to go out there. He's going to slow this game down. He's not going to give Matt Ryan 50 opportunities to throw the football all over the lot. That's not what Bill's going to do. I actually, you know, in preparation for the Super Bowl, I went back and looked at Atlanta's defense this year, because I think that's going to be their problem in this game. And the Eagles game, to me, kind of crystallized their defense. They got pushed around.
Right.
When they have to play a game that's even or from behind on the defensive side, they're a mediocre defense. The Eagles' offensive line, a lot of power-blocking schemes, they pushed them around. And the Eagles took the lead in that game, and it, all of a sudden it became a different ball game. So clearly, Atlanta's a front-running team, and I mean that in a positive way, because they score fast, they score early. I think they scored a touchdown their first eight possessions over the last eight games. So they are obviously very hot. But if you make that defense play a balanced defense, I think you'd move that defense around. So in saying that, I think you'll see Bill come with a power running game featuring LeGarrette Blount.
And that's his way of slowing down the game, because you expect Brady to pass 50 times, and you're saying that they will run it and run it and run it, and that will somehow frustrate Atlanta because they don't have a good defense?
That's how I see it right now. And we all know, you know, Bill is a chameleon coach, changes every single week. He does different things every single week. But as I kind of watch the template of the Patriots under Belichick, they get into these kinds of games, and this is what they like to do. And when they want to be aggressive, they will spread them out. I believe they'll go with one running back, four wide receivers on the field, much like they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Remember that Atlanta defense is inexperienced. And the best thing to do to an inexperienced defense is surprise them. Give them something they're not prepared for, like the Steelers defense was not prepared for that four wide 2 weeks ago. It may not be the four wide, but it'll be something unique and different.
Can their defense, and Atlanta does not have a good defense at all, can their defense get to Brady? Because Brady doesn't run. Can they rush him? Can they put him down?
Yeah, you know, they do a good job creatively. You know, now Dan Quinn, comes from that scheme out in Seattle where they don't blitz a lot. That's just the way they play.
Right.
But they do a lot of games and a lot of stunts up front. And, you know, you have a Dwight Freeney, you have a Vic Beasley, you have a couple of good, pure pass rushers. So, you know, I think they will put some pressure on Tom Brady. You're not going to get to Tom a lot. The ball comes out. He's got one of the quickest releases in football. You know, the ball will come out of his hand.
Well, they got to Rodgers, didn't they? And Rodgers is even more mobile.
They got to Aaron Rodgers. So, but you think it's different with Brady?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different. Tom's approach is a little different. They have a running game. You know, Green Bay did not have a running game. So, literally, you know, Rodgers was sitting duck back there once they fell behind.
How does Brady get to be this good at 40? You played this position. You know what 40 felt like. How can he be this good?
Tony, it's absolutely remarkable when I watch Tom Brady. You know, this is the kind of the time where you see the arm strength begin to diminish. You don't see those deep sideline comebacks. You don't see the deep balls on a consistent basis, or they're inaccurate. Tom Brady, in my opinion, has gotten better this season. You know, maybe that four-game suspension helped him away from the game,
right,
in the weight room, got stronger. You know, I mean, you could read into that whatever you want, but I actually think Tom Brady is playing at an incredibly high level. He has not lost any of his physical strength as far as ball speed, ball placement, ball location. It's all been there. And I actually sense a little better movement in the pocket from Tom Brady. So, you know, he certainly is bucking the trend as he nears 40 as a guy whose skills are not diminishing.
This is a technical football question that you always ask of somebody who played, but are there one or two things where you could say, if this happens, this team will win? This is what you need to look for.
Well, you know, the one thing you probably heard all week and you hear for the next 3 days is get Tom Brady off his spot. I don't think that is necessarily true. Yes, you'd like to make every quarterback move and make him feel uncomfortable. But I think what's going to be critical, and I went back and looked at the Super Bowl when the Giants beat the Patriots and how they were successful in slowing Brady down. They won early in the down. They did not allow the Patriots receivers those free access routes, you know, where Tom could get the ball out of his hand quickly. They were physical. The corners played about 5 or 6 yards off the ball. They did not give him those easy throws where the ball came out quickly. And by winning early in the down, it allowed the pass rush to get to Tom Brady. So to me, I would go back, and I'm sure Atlanta has done this, look at, you know, what the Giants did, try to replicate that type of style, allow the pressure to get to Tom Brady, but later in the down. You're not going to blitz Tom Brady. The ball's going to come out of his hand, and he'll shred you that way. But if you can cover early in the down, let the pressure come late, I think that's a template for success against Brady.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I may very well be wrong. The Super Bowl that you played in, that was in January of 81 in New Orleans?
Correct.
Right? Okay, so that was, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I am, Pete Rozelle and Al Davis hated each other. Al Davis was beating Pete Rozelle and the league in court all the time. And there was, in that Super Bowl, the same kind of anticipation, Jaws, that if Oakland won, Rozelle would have to go downstairs onto the field and have to hand the trophy to Al Davis, which is why everybody thought that the league, that Park Avenue, was rooting for the Eagles. You were on the other side of that. It didn't affect you directly. But do you remember that? Do you remember the sort of controversy about that?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, as a player, you're focused on the game, but right, we were well aware of, you know, what was going on with the Raiders and what was going on with Pete Rozelle at the time. And actually, you know, as we now watch these games, the trophies presented on the field with all the pomp and circumstance of a celebration.
Right.
At that time, it was done in the locker room. So Pete Rozelle had to go into the Raiders' locker room as well, where, you know, there was a little dais set up where they would step up and present the award. So my recollection, and I've seen the photos, obviously wasn't in that locker room because they won.
Right.
But that it was a very uncomfortable situation for Pete Rozelle, because you were 100% correct. You know, it was an ugly time for Pete Rozelle and the Oakland Raiders and Al Davis, and very similar to what Roger Goodell and Tom Brady and the Patriots are going through right now. So I'm sure Roger will feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know, giving that trophy out.
I remember this very well because Al Davis actually sort of saved the day. He was very gracious when everybody expected him to be Al Davis. But for one reason or another, he saved the day, and Rozelle was able to get out of there. And all of Rozelle's people were very apprehensive about it, and it didn't actually go that badly. I think this year it would go badly. I do. I mean, I...
No,
because
wait, Tony, you're hoping it goes bad. I don't...
Well, I mean, here's... If Roger Goodell fueled this by not going to any games. I mean, to go to Atlanta twice, Jaws.
Did you see his press conference yesterday where they said, someone said, well, were you invited? And he said, by whom? Okay. Just answer the question.
So that,
clearly you were not.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing.
It's bad blood. There's no question about that. There's bad blood there. I don't think it will be. Even though if the Patriots win, they'll be the world champs. I think the fact that Al Davis had a little soothing effect because they won the football game, he wasn't as angry at the pressure at that time. But I think these wounds between New England and the league office are very, very deep.
I do too. I really do. All right, pick the game for us. It's a +3 for Atlanta. Tell me if you like the spread and tell me who you think will win.
Yeah, I think the spread is just about where it needs to be, and I like the New England Patriots 31 27. So I have them covering.
You have them covering by 1 point. So wait, the over-under is 58.5. You're under. You're under.
And I'm under.
Wow.
I just pick the game, the score, as I see it, irrelevant of what the spread is or the over-under, and then I see where it falls.
Okay. Thank you, Jaws. We'll talk to you on PTI. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow, Tony. Thank you.
Ron Jaworski, boys and girls. And as we say all the time, year after year after year, if we just gave you Ron Jaworski, that would surely be enough. But we don't just give you Ron Jaworski.
Now you went on down to the National Zoo to get some pics from Reginald. They always give you more than you expect. It's not just Jaws, but they give you a monkey. Yeah. So now you went on down to the National Zoo to get some pics from Reginald. Yeah, yeah. The quarterback picks, the monkey picks, and the goddess picks one, two.
So... Does Reginald have any relationship with Ollie?
Well, it's interesting. When I went down there, first of all...
Were they cellmates?
Well, they were hanging out together. Late last night? Well, yes. It appeared to be that Ollie had been digging a hole because one of the guards at the zoo said, "Your dirt is in my hole." So he's being punished for that. Yeah. He'd been in the box. Yeah. And then when I got there, Ollie was bragging while Reginald was taking bets that Ollie said, "I can eat 50 eggs in an hour."
That's right.
So clearly they got some sort of connection.
Hey, you know, Reginald could tell you if this Ollie is the real one or not. He could tell you if this is a fake Ollie.
It appeared to be they were fast friends.
Does Reginald wear... tuxedo at night,
yes.
As well, he doesn't have sort of a. No, after, he's formal,
always formal
wear.
Always love formal. Yeah, sometimes a monocle, not always.
Reginald was 0-2 last week. Reginald had he closed badly.
Yes, he did.
He's 26-32. He can't get even. He can't. No. He can double up, triple up. It doesn't matter. He can't get even.
He has a few bets.
Okay. Oh, prop bets? He's
prop
got some
bets.
Prop bets.
Yes, the first one obviously is the game. Right. He showed me a photograph of him barbecuing with Dale Murphy back in the day, 2-time MVP from the Braves. So he's got ties to Atlanta.
Okay.
He will take Atlanta with the 3 points. Some of the prop bets. What color hair will Lady Gaga have when she walks out? It's blonde and any other. He's taking any other.
Okay.
And
he's taking the field.
When
smart.
Pressed, he said purple.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But he likes any other. Heads or tails? Loved heads. Says definite luck.
Yeah.
Heads. Love that. How many Trump tweets will happen during the game?
Oh.
The number is...
What is it? About 2.5?
1.5.
It's 1.5.
He
loves
the over.
Over. You go over.
You know that one. That's an easy one.
Loves the over.
That's an easy one.
Who will have more points, the Patriots or Russell Westbrook on Sunday?
Oh.
He's going to take Russell Westbrook.
Who is the Thunder playing?
I do not know. Reginald didn't know. Okay, he just loves that. Okay. So these are a few prop bets.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good. That's wonderful. We will take a break. When we come back, Nigel will do some news with us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
That's a Bruce Springsteen feel, doesn't it? Andrew Giordano, longtime listener from New Jersey. Okay, that's why there'd be a Bruce Springsteen influence. Here's my band, Ruby Roses, an indie rock band with a pop mentality. Here's our song, Shipwrecked, from our debut album, Some New Paradise. Michael, it's good music. If people have good music and they want to send it to us, how do they do it?
They can send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And if they want to buy a sweatshirt, no. You're shaking your head no.
I think we've heard that plug enough for the last few days.
I'm being censored by my own kid. It's just fantastic.
Michael, not a fan of capitalism.
Nigel has news for us.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And let me switch over here to my screen so I can tell you exactly what I want to discuss with you.
I thought you memorized it.
No, I did. You know what? I wasn't going to lead with this, but I will because it's just such a fascinating story. President Trump got on the phone yesterday with several world leaders, last of which was Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. And Trump proceeded to sort of berate him over what was supposed to reportedly supposed to be an hour-long phone call, lasted 25 minutes.
An hour is a tremendously long time to stay on the phone.
Right. But apparently he boasted about his big Electoral College win, the crowd size, and said that he had spoken with 4 other world leaders that day, including his best buddy, Vlad Putin,
right,
and said to Malcolm Turnbull, "This was the worst call by far." And then proceeded to berate him about a deal, including exchanging prisoners, I guess.
President Obama had agreed to take 1,250 refugees from Australia and put them into the United States.
That's right. And Trump said, this is the worst deal ever to Turnbull, and then apparently just said, all right, I'm done.
He had some choice words about kangaroos, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the worst deal ever. That Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio deal.
That was a tough deal.
I think that was the worst deal ever. That was a really bad deal.
But this was another case of alternative facts afterwards, because Turnbull came out and said something completely different than Trump did about the conversation.
Utterly. So
it was lovely. Love talking to your President Trump. He's a lovely guy. We'll take him over to have some blooming onions or something.
I didn't know we had Paul Hogan in studio.
That's not a knife.
To me, the story, I mean, obviously, it's kind of an amazing, eye-popping story, but the leaks coming out of this White
House. How does this happen?
It is a transcript of a private call, and it's not the only one. Last night, so the Post reported that first. The AP reported the Enrique Peña Nieto call in which Trump threatened, he said, your military is doing a bad job, might have to send our troops down there.
What?
But it's, I mean, how are people getting? Okay, number one, it's amazing that he threatened potential armed conflict with Mexico. But part two is like, who is leaking that? It's a private transcript. Not that many people know what exactly is said on those calls.
You know, maybe the people who are leaking it realize that the only way to influence him is to do it publicly. Because if you do it behind scenes, he's going to do what he wants to do anyway. But the only way to maybe corral him or put him in a lane and keep him there is to reveal what happens behind the scenes.
Fantastic. What else you got?
This is crazy.
The Nationals. You wonder what they're going to do for their closer? Well, they signed Joe Nathan, who's 742 years old, and Matt Albers to minor league contracts.
He's 42. Well, Michael, your theory on this as to why they did this is interesting to me.
Well, I think they have a history of looking for affordable options in the offseason to try and bolster their bullpen, particularly with middle relief, long relief, and closing options. And I think the hope that I would have is he comes in and has a good spring training, but really I look at him as the elder statesman who takes Coda Glover under his glove and is able to coach him up. And maybe you get a few spots in April, May when the games are a little bit, less meaningful. And if you need to, you can go to the open market in July and try and find a closer at a more affordable level like you did in this past season. And
but
best
you
case
see
scenario
him
is,
as a professor. I see him as an extension of Mike Maddox, as somebody who's brought in to show by example how to become a reliever.
And you've seen that the last 2 years with Melanson and even with our dear friend Papelbon, who a lot of the pitchers recognized as being a good teacher.
Right. So that why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you take it? He's not the Joe Nathan who was an all-star, obviously.
With the Twins, right, for a long time?
Yeah, yes. But if you can get something out of him in terms of coaching.
And Michael's right. I mean, everybody says, FP, number one in this list, that Coda Glover has the stuff to be a closer, but he showed when they rolled him out there for that brief time, he struggled a little bit. And you would guess that that's mental. I mean,
the
struggles
actually came after a physical injury that they didn't really recognize till after the season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it was in his hip.
Okay.
It's like when Strasburg sprained his ankle and ruined his entire season.
Yeah. Yes. Capitals won last night. I know you wanted to talk about that. They beat the Bruins.
We had that in the open.
Yes.
You had that.
We did cover that extensively in the
you
open.
You did that long take off mic on Kuznetsov.
Yeah, and
that
also
was really
the checking
interesting
line. You had some interesting points about the checking line and how important they'll be in the second half of the season.
It's too interesting to go into here on a limited format. It's too interesting.
Yeah, that would take hours.
One thing I know you did want to talk about was the Polish Hammer.
Marcin Gortat.
Yes. Yeah.
So he comes into studio yesterday. There's some sort of Polish celebration coming up in the near future, and he shows up, and he's got on one of those scarf.
Yeah.
A Poland scarf. And he's totally charming. He's totally charming. He's totally bouncy. He's so fluent in what is not his native language. He actually wants to be, he has aspirations to be the president of Poland. He says great things. He was the guy earlier in the year who said this is the worst bench in the NBA, which he said yesterday he regrets saying, but it was true.
It was true at the time.
Yeah. And he's thrilled about the way the team has come around. And I said, I couldn't have been more wrong on this. And when he comes to the set, he plays celebrity stat boy. And it was a lot of fun to have him there. They played a night against the Lakers. They're going to win that game. That'll be 16 in a row at home.
Yeah.
Then the tough one is Monday.
I've got tickets.
They got the Cavaliers. Right. Now you're going to be rooting.
I'll be there.
You'll be rooting for the Cavaliers.
You know
Now this is
that's
news.
Your hometown team.
I know it's my hometown team. I don't know. I don't know. I like this run the Wizards
Wilbon
are on.
Would be so upset with you.
But I was never a season ticket holder. I was a season ticket holder for the Wizards.
Okay.
And I like seeing this run. I like to see them extend this thing. This run for them, this is the best moment I've seen here in D.C. sports in a long, long time. You got a quarterback in the Pro Bowl. You got the Caps that are winning. The Caps and the Wizards both undefeated for January in the
Georgetown
Verizon Center.
On the three-game Big East winning streak.
Georgetown won a game.
Surprised you didn't mention
Maryland
that.
Maryland's the best team in the Big Ten. Whoever would have picked that.
Nope.
This is a really good time for Washington. I hate to see it ruined.
So you may be flipping completely, and
I'll be rooting for a good game.
But tell me at least this. Huh. Tell me that you agree with me that what Charles Barkley said about LeBron James is 100% true. The Barkley part, that he's been whiny, that he's spending everybody else's money, that he just wants whatever he wants when he wants it, and all of that.
My folks at home will be mad at me for saying this, but yeah, what he said about him about him talking that way was true. And you guys were right to note that LeBron went back at him personally.
Oh my! I mean,
personally,
like a laundry list.
Yeah,
of personal
things. And he had to say was rings, baby. That's all he had to say.
That's exactly right.
If he had just said scoreboard,
that's
I got the rings,
knock on Barkley. Everyone knows that. It's like if you're going to attack Dan Marino, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
The other part of this to me is LeBron actually said, "I won't let him take my legacy." What are you talking about? Just go win championships.
You know.
That's your legacy. How could LeBron be that thin-skinned?
Doesn't that language would indicate, I'm not a psychoanalyst, but I would think that language kind of indicates a little insecurity, which is interesting for...
He's the best.
Yes, but you know what? If you look at the way his environment has always been groomed for him ever since he was in high school. You know, adversity really wasn't something he encountered until he left badly in Cleveland and went to Miami. And all of a sudden, he had people speaking badly about him.
Yes.
That touched him. I think the one thing I saw that struck me the most back then was him almost breaking down when he heard about his jersey getting burned in Cleveland. All right, so that said to me, wow, you know, anybody else would say, listen, that's gone. I did all I could for you guys. I'm gone. He got upset about that. It's like, wow, he's that sensitive? So I wasn't surprised to see him react that way to Barkley. I talked to my brother about this yesterday, and you know, his thing was saying, well, Barkley had some nerve to criticize him for having to have the best players, because Barkley did the same thing when he was with Olajuwon and he didn't win. And all LeBron had to say was, you did the same thing I did and you didn't win. And he could have walked away from the whole thing and been done with it. But I don't know. I have to admit, Barkley had a point.
I think some of it's generational, too. I think he is, you have to remember, I mean, we think of him as sort of ageless, but he's still, you know, he's in his early 30s.
Yeah.
But he's been around for 15 years.
And he's been around for but that generation of people are, I think, he's very brand conscious. And by brand, I mean the LeBron brand, the LeBron legacy. You know, I mean, he is of a generation who is always like cultivating social media and how does this make me look? And I'm going to be in train wreck, you know, and he's really personable in that. You know, I mean, I think it's all... There are a lot less rash decisions made, whereas a Barkley, I think, just says stuff.
Always.
Yeah. I think it's like, I was struck by the whole legacy thing, you know, where it's like he's constantly like, you're still playing. What are you worried about?
You know,
and he's got, it's not as though this is his last season.
No,
I mean, this is a guy
who's
going to play.
Kind of thing you let somebody else say. You don't say it. You let somebody else, even if you send one of your posse, you're one of your boys out. Let them say that. You don't have to be the
one. I mean,
one
you're
to say
not
that.
Saying things like, somebody's like, Tony, why did you buy the restaurant? You're not like, I just thought it was brand consistent. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not like a thing that, it's just a different mindset.
I wanted to go hang out someplace till 7:30.
I wanted to buy people free drinks until 6:15.
I just thought it'd be really cool. Actually, that's the truth. I thought it'd be really cool. What else you got?
They say great players really shine in the fourth quarter of basketball games. That's really where the great players show themselves.
How'd Northwestern do yesterday?
Oh,
by the way, they got
down
crushed.
30 at
oh,
half.
Oh, did they get crushed?
Ooh. They were down 25 at
half. I don't want to step on your lead-in, but
Steph Curry has scored 0 points in the last two games in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
he
doesn't have to play. Yeah.
Because he's crushed it so much and the Warriors have been so far ahead, he hasn't had to play. In fact, he's had 23-pointers and 82 points in his last six quarters. He had 39 points in three quarters last night as the Warriors took out the Charlotte Hornets 126-111.
Yesterday was National Collegiate Signing Day. this is something that has bubbled up over the last 10 years or so as ESPN publicizes it and puts cameras there. Wilbon loathes this day. I don't like the day, but Wilbon really loathes the day. Maryland allegedly did very, very well, like a top 20 recruiting class in football. But there's one kid, and I think he was a Florida kid, because he comes out and he's got a Florida shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah, takes the shirt off. Yeah, he's got a Florida State shirt on.
Yeah. Right.
He takes that off, and he's got USC. I wanted to break his arms.
Yeah. Couldn't agree
more. Didn't you feel the same way?
Absolutely.
That kid, you know, enough.
Oh, he set himself up. So if he's on the field when USC plays Florida, right. If they play Florida State, somebody's going to break his leg.
Yeah, that was...
It's like when they do the thing. That was the worst I've seen, but they do the thing where the guy goes to put on one hat and then he reaches the other. Yeah.
And there's always a mom that's upset. Because the kid it usually
the other one.
He didn't go to LSU. All the moms want their kids to go to LSU, and he puts on another hat, and then they interview the mom, and she's disgusted with the kid. And you go, didn't you work this out
beforehand? Talk about this?
But the choreography that they put in these things now, it's just gotten out of hand. ESPN is responsible for this. And if you ever wonder why these kids have this sense of entitlement that allows them to think they can get away with anything. This is where it begins.
Well, see, it's also the internet that you can just get on and give your opinions and take pictures of yourself and make yourself into a star immediately. Are we good?
I will remind you that there are many, many stories of high school seniors at small places that you never hear of getting the chance to go play college football,
which is great.
Or their sport through these signing.
And they're not publicized.
Yeah.
There is
power to that data.
Until Randy Edsall calls them up and says, actually, I don't have a slot for
when
you.
When I announced I was going to Georgetown.
That was a big day. That was a big day.
I mean, the football coach went bananas when I announced it. I originally had a Cornell shirt on.
Did you do the skydiving thing? Was that what you did?
It was a blue and a red, and I shot the gun, and it was blue, and everyone knew Georgetown.
That's right. One final note. Puxatony Phil saw his shadow, so we will...
It was completely overcast.
Yeah.
I saw that live. It was completely overcast.
It's supposed to be like the warmest February ever.
Completely overcast.
Did Ali show up there?
No. Phil Connors was there, though, reporting live for us, so we appreciate that.
That's Pat Collins.
Phil Connors.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... Oh, Groundhog Day. How could I? I thought you were talking about Pat Collins with the stick.
Snow stick.
Pat Collins and the snow stick.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have Old Guy Radio when we return, and we will bring Liz Clark on from Houston, Texas. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Teach Your Children. This is Crosby, Stills, and Nash before Neil Young. And we do this in honor of Graham Nash, who is 75 years old today and has a really, really sweet voice. Before I get into critical commentary, Nigel, you had said to me yesterday that you had a fun fact that would bother me.
Yes.
About this song.
Do you know who plays steel guitar on this?
I do not.
Jerry Garcia.
Is that right?
Really? And I know you are not a fan of the Grateful Dead.
I am not.
Apparently the deal was, Jerry said, I'll play steel guitar on this for you guys if you'll teach us how to sing harmony. So that was sort of the trade-off.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
That's a pleasant story.
Yes.
This was, in this period of time, which is in the late 60s, there was a supergroup being formed in England. Right, and that was it Traffic was the supergroup?
Traffic and Cream were the two big supergroups, I think.
Okay, so it was going to be Stevie Winwood and Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce, or whatever it was going to be. And everybody was anticipating that group. And out of nowhere, Crosby, Stills, and Nash came out. And Graham Nash is from the Hollies, and David Crosby's from the Byrds, and Stephen Stills is from Buffalo Springfield. And their album was a sensation. I honestly, and again in the field of critical commentary, I thought they were diminished when Neil Young joined them. I thought he put them onto a particular road of songs that I didn't think worked nearly as well or as lightly, as sweetly as Crosby, Stills, and Nash alone. So that's just my thing. We are so happy. Liz Clark is joining us now. Liz is in Houston at the Super Bowl. And there's a whole bunch of things I want to talk about. Mainly, like, what are you doing there? What are you doing? Like, are you following lead stories? Or are you allowed to go out and sort of freelance and go to the great press conferences that they have? You know, the people who sing the anthem and the people who are going to perform at halftime. But I got to start on the press conference yesterday. We watched the press conference yesterday. We had no stories at PTI. We had junk. And we watched the press conference. And as soon as Dan Shaughnessy got up there and had the first attack dog question of Roger Goodell referring to Deflategate, that opened up the gates. And there were, Liz, it seemed like half the questions aimed at Roger Goodell were about Deflategate and his relationship with Kraft and Belichick and Brady. What were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's a good ratio, and it's funny. I was just going over my notes and trying to get a fair, you know, percentage on that. I think it was about half, and I think people expected one or two questions, probably not as many as there were, and from different perspectives. And maybe the second most question or most popular topic was franchise relocation. You know, there were a lot of people from San Diego asking questions, people curious about what's happening in Vegas. But Deflategate, you know, technically was resolved in August when Brady announced he was not going to pursue this any further. That was, you know, 5-6 months ago, and it remains kind of the alpha and omega of this Super Bowl. It is the biggest narrative going in, and depending who wins and to whom the trophy is presented, that will be the moment of moments. Awkward at a minimum, although Goodell is saying it would be a great honor to give the trophy to Kraft and perhaps the MVP honor to Brady. That was something.
What percentage of what Roger Goodell says publicly about this thing with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, what percentage of that do you believe? Because I'm down around 15%. Higher than that.
Yeah, no, I figured we'd disagree because I actually believe that the relationship between Kraft and Goodell is strong and pretty good in a way that unless you deal with billion-dollar corporations, maybe it's hard to see how you can disagree, even sue one another, although, you know, these two parties didn't sue one another, yet compartmentalize, find your common ground, and go forward. I mean, it seems very clinical and bloodless, certainly the way Goodell explains it.
Yes.
But, you know, Kraft was among three owners present. He was there in the front row and not there with any comportment or attitude like, I hate you, I'm going to eat you alive.
Right.
It was, you know, I'm one of 32 owners, and we are the league, and we rise and fall together. And, you know, that said, he acknowledges that he thought his quarterback was treated horribly, that his team was treated horribly and unfairly and unjustly. And, you know, he thinks that I think he's right, you know, it's galvanized not only the fan base, but the team. So if there's a winner in here, regardless of Sunday's outcome, I do think it's the Patriots, and Tom Brady, whose play at 39 is just beyond words. I can't even, you know, put meat on the bones of how he's doing what he's doing and kind of holding it together when clearly, I mean, one surprise of this week to me has been for all the Patriots vaunted control and management and not showing their cards on any level, Brady has been so close to tears, you know, more than once. And it's related to his parents. And it's deeply touching to me. And I think we all can kind of point to either losses in our life or horrible events that have happened that when you think on them, you kind of lose it. You know, your emotions just get away with you. But so certainly his father mounted a ferocious defense of his son just last week. And so Brady's first emotional moment was when he was asked how did he react to his dad's comments. And you could tell it just moved him beyond belief, and he really had to stop talking and catch his breath. And then he later acknowledged that his mother has been battling a serious illness and has not been able to attend a game this season, and he's hopeful she will attend this one. So very controlled, surgical on the field, but there's clearly a lot emotionally going on with Brady entering this game that has to do with making his parents proud and showing appreciation on top of whatever vindication in your face, you know, he'd like to make with statement he wants to make to the commissioner and the league.
Let me go back to Goodell for a second. Has there been any official explanation offered as to why Goodell, though I've been to 20 Super Bowls, those press conferences are always Friday. They're never Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The commissioner
yeah.
never goes Wednesday. I have my own theory, but has there been any official explanation as to why he did that yesterday?
If there was, I have missed it. There were some certain changes to the schedule. That was the notable one. And the obvious implication is that the crowds are smaller. The press corps is smaller on a Wednesday. So maybe there would be fewer questions, fewer pointed questions, and just the whatever headlines result, whatever potential embarrassment results or awkwardness results, it would be a few days more removed, you know, from the day of celebration.
That's got to be it.
NFL.
That's got to be it. He had to know that he was going to get hammered on Deflategate, and he said, I don't want to do this Friday. I don't want that to be the lead into the game. Let me do it earlier in the week. Let me get it out of the way. So on Friday and Saturday, all the news is about the game.
Smart.
It had to be that. Had to be.
And they've got, you know, the league, as you know, has excellent and
they're smart
for excellent PR advice. Yeah. They're smart in themselves. They bring in the smartest. But that said, I was, you know, impressed with. You know, I mean, Goodell just does not flinch or blink. I mean, he fielded every question with an even tone. He gave complete answers. It was just, I mean, there. So for
he
me,
did
to
not
say,
show
oh,
his disgust.
Avoid embarrassment. Yeah,
he did not say
no
league sad. Didn't say
yeah,
that.
No,
he didn't do that.
Patriots are going to fail once, bigly on Sunday.
Once great league sad.
They
he
do,
didn't do that.
To your point, they have brought in. We've talked about this off the air, but they have brought in a number of political people.
Yeah.
Including my friend Natalie Ravitz, who helps run communications for them, who has been in politics. So and we know Goodell
Joe
has
Lockhart
a background in that.
Headliner.
Joe Lockhart.
Yeah.
So they are not
they know what
dumb
doing.
About
no.
timing and
oh, this
things
is
like that.
Totally deliberate. It was totally deliberate and good for them. What are you doing? Are you enjoying? We didn't go. Wilbon and I didn't go to Houston this year because it was Houston, to be quite frank, and we just felt it was between the devil and the deep blue sea. What have you been doing that you've enjoyed?
Well, you know, okay, so I'm embarrassed to confess this, but I will. The first couple of days, I could not stay off the Twitter because of Ollie the Bobcat.
Okay.
Yes,
well, everything's
like,
safe. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like I am being paid to be here, and I have certain things I'm working on, and I was really trying to do my job, but every morning it was like, let me check on Ollie. What's up? How's my beagle? What are we going to do? The search has been stopped. Oh, that's terrible. And then my rejoicing when I learned Ollie was found.
Oh, yeah.
I just,
sure.
just yeah. died with laughter when I learned that Ollie was right by the birds, you know, thinking of the Sylvester the cat. Of course Ollie was found near the bird cage, you know. And so then that enabled me to put down the damn Twitter and focus on my work. So then when I look at it next time, all of a sudden I see that, you know, our country's new axis of evil includes Australia.
Yes,
so
yes.
I am missing so much here. But no, I'm not so much having fun. I'm not good at that on any assignment. I fret so much. So I've been to, you know, the press conferences, the Monday night circus of the opening night, talked to some people. I had a, to me, very interesting interview with Kathy Lanier, the former D.C. police chief, who's now head of NFL security. So I have like one or two stories I'm working on that I thought I could do reporting on here effectively that I won't go into because I'm not sure that they'll pan out.
It's okay.
But that's been a bigger challenge than I thought, just because the scale of the event has bloated so much since I was last at a Super Bowl. It's just very hard to find the people you want amid the mayhem.
So in your story today in the paper, they run an accompanying picture of Kathy Lanier. And let me say that I am so used to seeing Kathy Lanier in a particular outfit with medals, and she comes out as the police chief, that now she doesn't have that. I had to look twice. You know what I mean? I did not recognize her. Yes.
Yes, she was always in the crisp white shirt, just so perfect.
Yes,
and
with the medals. And the epaulettes.
Badge.
Yes.
Yeah, the epaulettes. It was just that was her look. So I was startled too, because she looked very elegant in this black suit and these black boots and, you know, red shirt. And but it's like, oh wow, this is a bit of a switch for me. But I think it was a terrific hire, and she, you know, in a job I can't quite fathom. The breadth of that job is outrageous.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this, and it's my sort of common negativity. I actually feel nothing for this game. The fact that Atlanta, there's nothing I can look at between New England and Atlanta that appeals to me at all, because Atlanta has been a non-factor for so long. I mean, if New England was playing, you know, the Giants again, or Green Bay, or, you know, almost any team but Atlanta. Yeah. And I'm wondering if down there is a same feeling of, well, let's just get to the game already, and maybe it'll be better than the lead up is because we don't have any skin in the game so far.
Yeah, no. I know what you're meaning. I mean, I'm not getting that vibe just because it's Houston and I'm around, like, people who live here who are so thrilled that the event is here.
Yeah.
But that dynamic is clearly demonstrated by the resale value of the tickets, which I think is going down. There's not that automatic buzz. It's not two storied teams. There's no history of enmity.
Yeah.
It seems like Atlanta just joined the league yesterday, even though I know it's been decades. So I get all that, and in many ways I share all that. But of course, being here as I'm thinking it through and listening to players and talking to players, and you know, I historically have trouble getting really jazzed for these great Super Bowl matches of defenses when it's like no one's going to give a yard here, yard there. So I find myself like genuinely enthused about seeing these two very high-powered offenses. Obviously, they won't play against each other, but take turns on the field. And I think Julio Jones is such a dynamic player. I love to watch him. And the Brady, you know, Deflategate Patriots versus league narrative, which is really the foes that are going to take the field, to me, that's incredibly compelling. But I do know what you mean, and kind of share that. It's not an automatic buzz about, Falcons, Patriots.
Yeah. Thank you, Liz. It's great that you would join us. Appreciate it. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, fun. Bye-bye.
Liz Clark, boys and girls. She's always, even when she's not enthusiastic, she actually is enthusiastic.
Well,
it's,
you know, I feel like we didn't press her enough on her absolutely 100% belief that that's Ali. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I thought about
that. How about
that?
A little skeptic?
I thought about that. I didn't even want to introduce it to her because she was so euphoric. That
she needs this dream.
They found him right by the birds. How poetic. Yeah, exactly. What a storyline someone created.
We're out of here on this. We will come back with emails and a jingle. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the SeatGeek read, and just about what Liz Clark said, that there's the resales are going down and down and down. SeatGeek might be the way to go even on the Super Bowl. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game, like the Super Bowl, or show that you want to go to. And none of the older ticket sites want to change that. SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work. You save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off of their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, you download the SeatGeek app. That's SeatGeek. And the app, boom, hit it. Go to the settings tab. You click add a promo code. When they ask you what promo code to add, you enter the code Tony, T-O-N-Y, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you have made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony's mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gonna read some for all of you folks.
Kirsten Ohnstadt with her version of the mailbag theme. Thank you very much.
Would you believe I have three ukuleles at home?
You do.
Do you play the ukulele? Yeah, a little bit.
Would you bring it, the next time you're in, would you bring in a ukulele so we could hear this?
I don't know about that.
We'd like to see
that. I'd be interested in that.
We'd like to see that, a ukulele.
Big guy, little ukulele.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Ron Jaworski for coming on with us, Liz Clark as well. I want to thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek, ZipRecruiter, and Blue Apron. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show whenever and wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And when you leave us a review, please urge Leon to bring a ukulele.
Yes.
The next time he's on. From Will Eddowes, hi, Tony and the crew, all the way from New Zealand, would be interested to hear some debate on this. Worst management of bobcats, the National Zoo in 2017, or Michael Jordan in 2011-12?
Well, watch out, New Zealand. We're coming for you next.
For Steve McInerney in Chicago, Mr. Tony, second time, long time. I got a text from my mom. She lives in the neighborhood behind Columbia Country Club. Next to Lynbrook Park, her friend spotted Ollie. They called the zoo and forest department, but that's the last we heard. A picture is attached for you and those watching on News Channel 8, and you can see Ollie in this particular picture. From Alex Lau in New York City, after Ollie the bobcat was found last night on zoo property, Charles Barkley criticized it for causing a scene to find new bobcats that the zoo wasn't willing to sign. James Carville lost the over-under bet that Ollie was 1 mile away from the zoo and had eaten five animals. The Trump administration denied meeting with Ollie for the Supreme Court opening, but refused to confirm or deny whether Ollie would be considered for Secretary of Education position if Betsy DeVos is not confirmed. From Tom Augustine, or Augustine, I'm also old, so I know how Red Skelton closed out his show. Good night and God bless.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Okay, so it wasn't
Edward R. Murrow.
Duff McDuffie in Virginia Beach, Virginia, on yesterday's show, when you spoke about Brent Musburger's farewell, you asked if it was Edward R. Murrow who signed off each broadcast with goodnight and God bless. Nigel jumped in immediately to confirm that it was Mr. Murrow. Thank you, Nigel, now that I know the middle initial R stood for Red Skelton.
Guess I had that wrong.
I think you may have had that wrong.
Yes.
Well, at least
thank
people
you.
Aren't sanctimonious about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Blake Dedonis in Starkville, Mississippi, and Starkville is Mississippi State, I believe. Mr. Tony, I'm just catching up on last week's podcast. I was delighted to hear you all mention the Mystics for the second time in as many weeks. The general manager and head coach of the Mystics is Mike Tebow, who is the father of the woman to whom I will soon be related to by marriage and the winningest coach in WNBA history. I am a former D1 women's basketball coach, and Carly, my fiance, is currently an assistant coach and recruiting coordinator for the Mississippi State women's basketball team, currently ranked number 4 in the country with a 20-1 record. I stepped out of coaching when this job came open for her, and I am now doing some broadcasting with the SEC Network. You're absolutely right in saying that Elena Delladon is the best player in the world, although Maya Moore may have something to say about that. Regardless, I can honestly say that if anyone considers themselves a basketball fan, the Mystics roster is now constructed in a way that anybody would find their style of play enjoyable. Not that you all need my help, but if any of you want to attend a game, I would be happy to help you with tickets. Isn't that nice?
I'm on it.
Isn't that nice? P.S. Several weeks ago, I sent in a jingle, and although it didn't get played, I did receive a sticker, so that was nice, I guess. Thanks for all the laughs and memories over the years for this 27-year-old little. How great is that?
That's awesome. Wonderful.
From Patrick Croneshaw in Chesapeake Beach, I truly believe the record high temperatures this January can be linked to the recent arrival of one Sheena Parveen.
Well, that's and along, very possible.
Along the same
yeah, the
way
warm front
from Don
end.
Lipton, like you, I watched the early NBC4 news. Your gang is right. Sheena Parveen is playing a game we are not familiar with. She's putting for eagle every time out while Chuck Bell is lucky to make par. To even things up, I suggest Chuck should get Ollie the Bobcat to appear or disappear during his turns the weather. During and doing is very hard to say. Build some suspense like a Supreme Court announcement, you know? Hashtag make it fair. Don Lipton, Silver Spring, Maryland. That's
Chuck
wonderful.
Bell is Bipsick, huh?
Yeah, he is Bipsick. Jonathan Trace in Kanagawa, Japan. For all the folks who decided to skip Monday's show for political reasons, you sadly missed out on one of the greatest newscasts in podcast history. A quick recap. Nigel, Hoyas win over Butler. Saliza, look out, world. Tony, so the Villanova game. Saliza, wait, you just... Tony, I'm passing over that. It's not that important. I don't care what your political leanings are. That's great radio. Eat it, Saliza.
Yeah, that will hurt.
From Josh Cromwell in Moselle, Mississippi. Me, a name I call myself. I love that.
There you go.
I love that. And from John Springer in Fenton, Missouri, you've heard about that fan who tweeted Sergio Garcia for 206 straight days asking to caddy for him. This is the 2015 time I've tried to get an email on the air past Nigel's approval. Do you think you can read this one? Yes. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them? They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Oh, my.